From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And there you have it, another day on the Joe Hoff Show. Thank you for listening in. I tell you what, that bomb is just fantastic, and it's so appropriate for this week. We have had a heck of a week here at the Joe Hoff Show, if you've been listening. You can validate what I'm saying. It's just been epic, I guess would be the word. We start off the week with President Trump's attorney, Christina Bob. And then on Tuesday, we had D.C. power couple, Joe DiGenova and his wife, Victoria Tonsing. Trump attorneys, just dynamite. Big. After I got off the phone, I thought, wow, those guys are big. They're really, really big. They are a power couple in D.C. For the conservatives, which there aren't many in D.C. anymore. There's just these monsters that are trying to take over this country that God knows who they're working for, China, the Bidens, whatever. A real sick situation our country's in. I tell you what, yesterday's interview with Michelle Bachmann was epic as well. It was just fantastic. She's on another level. She just really is. And if you go back and listen to it, you'll see what I mean. She's on another level. And you can go to tntradio.live and pull up prior posts or prior shows and you will see, you can listen in on that. And I try to post these also at joehoff.com. I got a new website there. We're working on revamping it. It looks great. And I can't wait till we put it in production, these changes. So feel free to go to joehoff.com. And feel free as well to get ready for my new book coming out, The Steel Volume 3. I thought it'd be ready really by the beginning of the month, and lo and behold, it just wasn't ready. Isn't that something? I was talking to a friend. He says, no, it's been delayed. It's like in certain industries, it's like IT, certain industries, the rollout. These things are never on time. I remember a corporate board director in a meeting I was in once said, well, if it's IT, and he owned a big IT company at the time and in the States, and he said, well, if it's IT, I've learned that it's always twice as expensive and it takes twice as long, and these rollouts. And so this isn't an IT rollout, really, necessarily. My website upgrades perhaps have some work on that, but the book is not, and hopefully we'll have it out. Hopefully by the end of next week. So I will keep you posted. And that's, you know, God willing that Amazon, you know, pushes it through. The volumes 1 and 2 they've pushed through. So I'm hopeful that volume 3 as well. I've had that issue with one of my books that went out. It was about lying liberal lunatics. And it was in God We Trust, not in Lying Liberal Lunatics. It's a great book. It talk a lot about censorship and talked a lot about the Mueller gang long before, you know, today. Now we know the Mueller gang is totally a fraud. I bring up some stuff back then that'll blow you away that, you know, figured out at that time. So that book, they sat on for a month, Amazon did. So hopefully that won't happen again. But that's kind of the world we're in. And this is a nice segue into who we have today. Today we have Dr. Shiva is going to be joining us. And he's a MIT graduate, PhD. Maybe he's got two PhDs from MIT. He invented the email. I met him a couple years ago in 2020, right after the election. He came out and was saying, hey, what's happened in Pennsylvania is not right. I think it was maybe it was Michigan. He said there's a pattern here to these results. That means that they're monkeying with the numbers, and that was a big article that I put up when I located that and put that up, and then it tied in with some other patterns that we identified at Gateway Pundit with a couple actually executives that reached out to me to say, hey, look at this. And we were knocking it out of the park then, getting, like I said, I told this to Joe DiGenova and his wife, Victoria Tunsing, Tuesday. Yeah, we're getting 5 million hits a day at that time. And it was due to just some hard work, some smart people, and putting these really papers together on what was going on. And there was a pattern there. Anyways, Dr. Shiva was the first to identify that. And then in my knowledge as well, he ran for office, and he found out that the government was working with Twitter to censor him. And so he's the first one to kind of figure out that is against the law. There's this section, I think it's number 231, that allows for the big tech to basically censor people, but they can't do that at the government's bequest. That's when it crosses the line and it becomes a crime. And there's a number of court cases involved in that right now as well. So we will see what comes from all those. But Dr. Shiva was involved in that. And he also is running for president. So it'll be big to talk to him about that as well. So that's coming up in our segment at 3:20. Can't wait for that. And just a lot going on, a lot coming out here in the next week. And I got to tell you, we got another great guest tomorrow in Tony Schaefer. This list of guests this week are just, they couldn't be better. It's just fantastic. We got a Trump lawyer, a former Trump lawyer and his wife from D.C., the former head of the D.C. Justice Department, Joe DeGeneva. We've got Michelle Bachmann, who's former U.S. rep and now the head of the School of Robertson School of Government at Regents University. By the way, our condolences to the family, the Robertson family. The individual who started that university passed overnight. A pastor and a very, very good man. Everybody that knew him really loved him. Michelle certainly did. So God bless him. And then we got Dr. Shiva today talking about some stuff that'll rock your socks. And then Tony Schaefer tomorrow again on some events that occurred during the 2020 election that we just got information on this week. And Tony was right, spot on. And it'll be great to hear what he has to say about that. So really just some of the top stories, breaking stories in the U.S. today, all coming out here at the Joe Hoff Show. So I appreciate y'all listening. And I'm telling you, share the show with your friends and family. And online, because we're coming up with some just dynamic stuff that you won't be able to find anywhere else. So at this time, I'd like to introduce our good friend, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. He comes on the show, as you know, daily about this time to discuss a top story of the day. And today, Adam is going to talk to us about Tucker Carlson's he spoke the other day on Twitter, had like, last I saw was like 80 million people that have watched his 15 or so minute presentation. And there's some people that weren't happy about that, I guess. So Adam's going to fill us in on that. So Adam, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Yeah. So
good.
First of all, yeah, thanks for bringing up Pat Robertson. So rest in peace, good old Pat. He was definitely a staple on my television through a lot of moments during my life. So at least we know where that man is spending his eternity. Mm-hmm. We'll just leave it there. All right, so on to Tucker Carlson, where it's still questionable where he's going to be spending his media career before he spends some time in eternity. But this is fascinating. I did a report about him yesterday because he certainly he knocked it out of the park, Joe, in just 10-minute message. I mean, he broke like so many records. He totally embarrassed the mainstream media, cable news, everybody, everything, made some waves, talked about some contentious stuff right out of the gate, poked at the Ukraine narrative being shoved down everyone's throat, and, you know, just generally did his Tucker thing. And then like less than 24 hours later, Axios reported about the fact that he had been approached, or at least his lawyers had been, by none other than his former employer, who said, "Hey, listen, you can't do that, buddy. That's a breach of contract." So now his lawyers, Tucker Carlson's lawyers, are responding back. They have issued a response themselves. So Carlson's lawyer, who is this guy? Oh, Brian Friedman. There he is. So he said in a statement to Axios on Wednesday, quote, that Fox defends its very existence on freedom of speech grounds. Now they want to take Tucker Carlson's right to speak freely away from him because he took to social media to share his thoughts on current events. end quote. That's what he had to say about this. That would appear to confirm the reports that Fox News had notified Carlson's lawyers about a possible contract violation. So supposedly a letter was sent by Fox News's counsel, Bernard Gugar, to Carlson's attorneys saying that he is now, quote unquote, in breach of his contract with Fox News after he premiered the first episode of his new Twitter show, which is called Tucker on Twitter. I guess they didn't have to think too hard about that one. He started this Tuesday night. The first installment generated more than 100 million views by now on social media. So totally impressive. I forget how many got in the first hour. It was pretty wild. It was only 10 minutes long. I do know that. So let's see. So Gugar, Fox's hound dog there, said, quote, in connection with such breach and pursuant to the agreement, Fox expressly reserves all rights and remedies which are available to it at law or equity, end quote. So I guess he continued to say about this whole thing, quote, this evening we were made aware of Mr. Tucker Carlson's appearance on Twitter in a video that lasted over 10 minutes. Pursuant to the terms of the agreement, Mr. Carlson's services shall be completely exclusive to Fox. Okay. The letter further stipulated that Carlson's contract says he is, quote, prohibited from rendering services of any type whatsoever, whether over the internet, via streaming or similar distribution or other digital distribution, whether now known or hereafter devised, end quote. So I guess they were covering themselves for the future in case Elon Musk installed brain chips inside of everybody's heads. Tucker cannot broadcast directly to your brain chip, according to Fox. So I don't, this is just kind of breaking, Joe. It's going to be interesting to see. It would appear that technically, I mean, I'm no lawyer, but I think he did breach his contract. But you know what? So freaking what, to be honest with you. I don't know what that means at the end of the day. It's not like he's going to serve time in prison or, you know, get strung up or you know, be treated like a J6, you know, gulag prisoner. But you never know. We'll see. What do you think about this?
Well, yeah, it'd be a civil lawsuit, wouldn't it? It'd be between Fox and him. So if they do decide to sue, and I'd heard that his contract something was in place maybe till after the 2024 election. So there was maybe some thought that that would prevent him from opining on the election. But I don't know. I got to tell you, we've got Dr. Shiva coming on here in a few minutes, and he's gonna lay down some information on Twitter, Musk, probably Tucker Carlson, and more, just kind of lay out his analysis based on his review of what's been going on over the last really period of time. And that'll be interesting to hear his take on all this. I think Tucker is certainly he was the only show, I guess, like Bannon said, he was the only show worth watching at Fox after from my take since 2020. And he's the only show that I watched since 2020 when he came out with that stuff on Ray Epps and the first night that he was going to start dropping these bombs on January 6th. And then the next day it ended. And then a short time later, he's fired. And so we never did get to see anything more from January 6th, which is just horrible. And so we don't know the truth of all that happened there. I think there's a reason for that. They don't want us to know the truth. They don't want us to know that there was riots that day that were caused by some individuals that shouldn't, that weren't Trump supporters. And so anyways, that was all kind of garbage the way all that came out. So there's some mixed feelings on Tucker, I know, from some people. It'll be really interesting, like I said, to hear what Dr. Shiva has to say about all this. And he will. And that's coming up here shortly. But I could tell some other stories about Tucker as well. One thing we knew that, Tucker was invited to Hunter's birthday party. I don't know if you knew that. They live near each other in D.C. And it may have just been the fact that they were just, you know, within the same neighborhood or whatever. But Tucker's son also utilized Hunter to get his son into Georgetown. Hunter wrote a letter of recommendation for Tucker's son. So we know that. And that was all, both these items were on the laptop. And I do know that there was an individual that reached out to Tucker Carlson before the election of 2020 with information on Hunter's laptop. And he you know, decided not to put it up. And that was really unfortunate. And I know the guy who offered that information to him was really upset with Tucker, thinking this is a big story. You need to get it out. You got a platform, and Tucker didn't do it. So there's some thoughts on Tucker. Interested in your last thoughts here, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I guess I could, if we had time, I would argue that at least your first two examples could just be simply innocuous. And, you know somebody, right. Get a letter of recommendation, et cetera, go to a party. That's fine. The other thing, I could also argue, hey, he knows the field in which he's playing, and he knows there's certain things he can do and he can't do. He's completely unleashed, and he does appear to be acting as such. So I wonder if he would address such a thing now. I imagine he wouldn't be afraid to do so. By the way, some conservatives have pulled out the B word already. I know it's not an LGBTQ issue, but they still have the power of the boycott. So Glenn Greenwald is one person that came out and suggested, hey, maybe we should just, boycott Fox for this pathetic move. Mm-hmm. Another one is DC Drano. That's Rogan O'Hanley. Mm-hmm. He's been on TNT before. He says, quote, they claim it's a breach of contract. Maybe we boycott Fox News until they stop trying to silence one of the biggest voices before the 2024 election, end quote. Yeah. So I think there is something to the timing there. And you brought up his final speech. If you are interested, you or the listener, go find Emerald Robinson on Twitter. It's just her name, Emerald Robinson. I'm sure you know who she is from Frank Speech's Absolute Truth with Emerald Robinson. And she got her hands on the transcript of Tucker Carlson's monologue he never got to deliver. And it's a bomb. You guys got to go check it out. So find Emerald Robinson on Twitter. Okay. And thanks, Joe. You have a great day. Thanks. Look forward to your guest, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back after this short break with Dr. Shiva.
You should hear what Chris Smith is talking about.
As Florida governor, the latest presidential candidate to put his hand up, Ron DeSantis, just killed any chance he had of becoming the president of the United States by wrongly defining his mission statement this week. Did you hear what DeSantis said on Tuesday? And his damning of wokeness. Now, that's not his mistake. In fact, that's his key policy, and one which will resonate with many Republicans. That's a good policy. That's a great mission statement. It's what he said alongside that promise that I think may be a terrible own goal.
Everyone knows if I'm the nominee, I will beat Biden, and I will serve two terms, and I will be able to destroy leftism in this country and leave woke ideology on the dustbin of history.
He's out to destroy leftism. Leftism. What is leftism? Someone who considers themselves left-leaning politically. Does he really think that he doesn't need normally left-leaning or often left-leaning voters to win the presidency? Does he really think he can glide into office on the back of Republican votes only? He hasn't done his homework. History tells us that it's the swinging middle. Americans who may consider themselves left most of the time, or just some of the time, who decide elections.
Chris Smith on TNT Radio.
Radio works because of its ability to personalize to the listener.
What's exciting these days is that people are rediscovering it. People are really rediscovering just how powerful radio is, how ubiquitous it is. It's in our cars, it's in our homes. There are so many new ways to access it. It's everywhere.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on TNT Radio.
Hey, this is Joe Hofton. We are back on the Joe Hoff Show here at TNTRadio.live. Appreciate you listening in. And we've got just a great guest to introduce to you right now. I've met Dr. Shiva. I first recall meeting him after the 2020 election. He had this analysis where he'd discovered this in his election back in Massachusetts prior to the election in the primary, where he saw a pattern in the results that didn't make sense in that election, applied the same formula to the national election and saw the same thing. And we put that up. I mentioned earlier, we put that up at the Gateway Pundit. It just went on fire. And from that point on, we became good friends and highly respect Dr. Shiva. He's the inventor of the email, and he holds 4 degrees from MIT. He's a Fulbright scholar, and just a really bright guy. He's got a heck of a history. He stood up, and supported us all in his efforts to really bring out the truth about the 2020 election, bring out the truth about COVID, and then also has been very instrumental in attacking the censorship from big tech against individuals like himself. He's got a great story there. And he is running for president of the United States. So with no further ado, I'll introduce you, Dr. Shiva Iyaduri. Doctor, welcome to the Joe Hoff Show.
Great to be here, Joe. Hope you and the team there is doing well.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. So where should we start, Doctor?
Well, Joe, I you know, you mentioned I'm running for president, and it's a decision that I didn't take lightly. You know, it came from a lot of people over the last, 3 years, people saying, hey, Dr. Shiva, why don't you run for president? And we decided to do that. But I think, Joe, probably the best place to start, this sort of discussion is to start in sort of September of 2020. If you recall, you were one of the few news organizations which covered the work I was doing, actually starting in March of 2020. It's probably good to start there, Joe. And then sort of walk through the contributions that we made by what I would say, very importantly, not delaying truth, but telling the truth at the right time. And this is central to, sort of what our campaign's about, but also central to the entire aspect of human health. And at a very broad stroke, whether people know it or not, any American listening to this should know that your children are going to live, are going to die younger than you. This is quite fascinating and quite unfortunate. And this is a trend that's been taking place since 1980. And I want to hone in on that. I'm the only candidate bringing this issue forward. And the solution, and I also have a very important solution for that. But that solution also exposes every other candidate who's running and exposes their irrelevance because they're the ones who are all part of creating this. So I want to cover that too, Joe. But in that context, I would like to start with March of 2020, walk through the many contributions we made to exposing the COVID issue, the pandemic. It was our lawsuit that discovered the fact that there's a backdoor portal to Twitter, and we never stopped fighting on that. And then I want to really expose, and I want people to have an awakening, true awakening here, not just call something an awakening, because awakenings occur when you tell the truth at the right time and then you act on it. And just like I exposed the issue with Fauci back in March of 2020, you were, again, one of the first guys to cover that when I exposed it, the issues with the election systems, the issues, with the backdoor portal, and then traversing it after I got back on Twitter. Recently, the fact that Elon Musk, we're at censorship 10.0, Elon Musk is what I say, a complete scumbag, exposed the fact that the elites, in my view, are coming at what I call version 2.0. And people like Tucker, people like Robert Kennedy, people like Musk, and these folks are essentially consolidating power in to confuse the American white working class conservatives back into the establishment. And it's a recurrent process in American history that's very, very unfortunate, but it's part of liberal imperialism. And again, I have to do the dirty work of calling these guys out again, Joe. So I want to really hopefully awaken people to this with facts and what's going on, just like I did back in 2020, because it seems like people almost want to get abused, the call here is, if you look at my track record, it's been over 100%, but at least 100% in calling these guys out at the right time. So that's what I'd like to start, Joe. And if we can sort of rewind. Well,
let's do that. Let's go back to 2020 and with COVID and such. I was in Hong Kong at the time, and I remember we started coming out too. I remember I came out with an article in mid-March of 2020 where I said, hey, these numbers don't make sense. The WHO's commingling numbers, and really within 10 minutes could see how this COVID, the actual mortality rate was not going to be 3.4%. It was going to be closer to the flu, 0.06%. The numbers, but the WHO was bastardizing that number to scare the entire world. And I got doxxed by Media Matters for that report. And it led to some challenges. And I ended up coming back to the States and retiring from this company, a great company that I'd worked at for 20 years. And I guess at that time, too, you were starting to talk about, I guess, Fauci. And so why don't you tell us briefly about that?
Very sort of preamble to this is, I think, Joe, you gave it in the introduction. I have 4 degrees from MIT. My field is in the field of systems biology. I've dedicated most of my life to scientific research and health. and medicine. And at the same time, being a ground activist since I was a kid, because I broke with both wings of the establishment, because I realized they both serve the same master. So I've had this history of a deep desire to understand politics, and frankly, a professional scientist and an engineer and inventor. Now in 2019, Joe, just to go back 6 months before that, November of 2019, I was invited to give the keynote prestige lecture presentation at the National Science Foundation. They typically only choose one scientist. And the discussion I'd given was on the modern science of the immune system. It was well attended by 200 scientists and engineers. And the system I laid out, Joe, is I basically told them, look, when the 1962 Kennedy Vaccination Act, it was John Kennedy who signed into act the 1962 Vaccination Act. And when he signed that in 62, that was based on a 1915, okay, a 47-year-old understanding of the immune system at that time. And that immune system model was very rudimentary. And it basically said, you know, you have your innate system and your adaptive system. And the concept of a vaccine was you could circumvent your innate immune system, give a jab, and voila, you get antibodies, and then you're protected, okay? So it was based on this very rudimentary understanding of the immune system that John Kennedy signed the 1962 Vaccination Act. Starting at that point, what I gave in my lecture, Joe, was I said that many, many injuries took place. And by 1986, instead of getting rid of that act, which was basically a one-size-fits-all medicine act based on a rudimentary understanding of the immune system, what happened is they created, and by the way, the 1962 Act is what created all those corrupt agencies, Joe, right? Yeah. So his brother, Ted Kennedy, with Waxman and others, passed a national vaccine injury program, which basically, and Reagan was forced to sign it because it was shoved as a rider in a bill for on the budget bill. And that act basically, that injury program basically created more bureaucracy, Joe, in classic liberal imperialism model, right? They created a whole nother bureaucracy, which said that we're going to have a vaccine court. And the only way, and that indemnified, which means protected all big pharma companies. And that, again, was supported by another Kennedy. And that meant that you could not sue big pharma, that you had to go to this little vaccine court and your you know, liability was around 250K. It was capped, all right? So again, you see what I'm saying? They didn't get rid of the 1962 Vaccination Act, because new science, and as I present at this conference, has shown that the immune system is very complex. We have the microbiome, we have the vagus nerve, the gut-brain axis, we have the interferon system, which I shared at that important scientific lecture. This demands that anytime you take anything into your body, it has to be a relation between the doctor and the patient, because it's too complicated. Everyone agreed, Joe, all right? Now, in January, I led one of the biggest protests in New Jersey with 5,000 mothers, because I'm from Jersey, against vaccine mandates. And we were on the ground, Joe. Kennedy and Del Bigtree came, you know, Kennedy came in on his SUV, okay? And he was critiquing me because he was saying, oh, we have to negotiate on the back room. We can't get people all angry. My model always was, Joe, you go on the ground, you do get people angry and you scare the hell out of these people. And we stopped that bill on the floor. They were afraid to pass it. But that was my first interaction with Kennedy. And I'll come back to that. But in March of 2020, you remember that tweet early March you guys posted. I said, that's when COVID hit, pandemic, quote unquote, hit, right? And I said, this will destroy economies, destroy, you know, people's health, and create mandated medicine. I called it right there. And and it was right there because I could see, as a scientist, as someone who does the immune system work every day, this whole thing was bullshit. And I was very, very vociferous about this because I could see where the trajectory was going, because they wanted vaccine mandates for other childhood vaccines up until 2019. I was heavily involved in that fight. And I felt, as I was watching the Children's Health Fund Defense Camp playing this backroom game, which never really got them anywhere. They lost everywhere they went. I always believed in militant bottoms-up protests, which is what history always shows has worked. So in March of 2020, I called that out, Joe. And at the same time, I realized these Kennedy guys were always doing these backroom negotiations. And I realized that when I looked at Robert Kennedy's background, this is in 2020, He had endorsed Hillary Clinton three times. I mean, you're talking about a woman who's as vaccine mandate you can get. Even as early as 2016, he had endorsed her. Not once, not twice, but public endorsements, open, writing articles in the New York Times. He then, in my own campaign in 2020, because I was running for Senate, as you know, his nephew, Joe Kennedy, was for massive vaccine mandates. And he raised money for him and endorsed him. And remember, Hillary Clinton is pro-Monsanto, and she's pro-GMO. And I had known Robert Kennedy because I did a movie with him years ago, and I saw his ability to speak from both sides of his mouth, which is classic democratic liberal imperialism, right? The liberal imperialists just know how to massage people and make everything ambiguous. The right Republicans at least say, hey, we're going to go blow up Vietnam, right? Barry Goldwater. The left always says, well, you know, we're going to do it like this. Basically, they screw people in a different way, but make them swallow the bitter pill. So I had to do this dirty custodial work of exposing Kennedy. And I said, look, he endorsed Hillary Clinton. He's speaking from both sides of his mouth. And in March of 2020, Kennedy was supporting lockdowns, strict lockdowns, lockstep and barrel with Fauci. And everyone can go look at it. And he was saying, oh, and by the way, this will be good for climate change. Okay. This guy's nuts. Right. So I had to, so all these wealthy, bougie women who want to be with Bobby Kennedy, as, and they call him Bobby as though he's his friend, right? Who fund him because they all made mistakes with their vaccine injured kids, unfortunately, right? I lost 20% of their followers. Initially, everyone loved me. Oh, we got an MIT scientist fighting with them. But I had to do that dirty work, Joe, and expose him. And then Kennedy did the classic Kennedy smear campaign. He called me a vaccine maker, Joe.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
I didn't know that.
He said, I was a vaccine maker. He said, I work with Bill Gates and I work with the Clintons. I mean, the guy's a total freaking scumbag because on our Echo Mail website, you know, we get software for reduced rate. He said, oh, he's a partnership with Microsoft. Unbelievable. I sued Kennedy. He kept running away from service. We're still going to get him. But this is Robert Booby effing Kennedy. That's what I call him. All right. So I've been on the ground with these guys. And if you look at the history of Kennedy's, they're mafia. Okay. John F. Kennedy's been made to be this great hero, but let's really look at it. Seymour Hersh said the guy was reckless. He almost got us into, you know, multiple imperialist wars and almost into a nuclear war. But the Kennedys have great photography and they're made to be as though they're heroes, but they're false gods. But anyway, March 2020 was interesting because I had to expose what I call the not so obvious establishment. And I was the first one to call out Fauci. And everyone can go look at my Twitter feed then. It's there in black and white. And why was I able to call him out with such confidence, Joe? Because I've been involved in medicine and writing papers, you know, with the number one institution in the world. And I knew Fauci was another scumbag. You go look at his history. He's one of the priesthood, right? He wheedled his way in since Reagan. And he initially protected Robert Gallo, who came up with a fake correlation of HIV and AIDS, right? And which Gallo's research was proven to be fraudulent. That's when Fauci came in. And this is, again, everyone can just do a little bit of research. Others have written about this. People like Duisberg, who, you know, one of the leading researchers who completely decoupled the AIDS and HIV narrative. But Fauci's been involved for a long time. And as a serious researcher on the immune system, I knew that the HIV-AIDS stuff was nonsense. And I could see this was sort of that version 2.0. So we did hashtag Fire Fauci. We, on our Shiva for Senate site, we raised a petition. And I literally, Joe, we have our bus out there. It's an old rickety bus. Me and our volunteers, we drove that bus with over 100,000 signatures to Trump. And if you go look at March 23rd of 2020, I wrote a letter to Trump. I said, please fire this guy. He's an incompetent scientist. And I said, furthermore, do not shut down the country. Follow the principles of precision and personalized medicine, which is what the NIH had agreed to in 2003, which is also the base of my PhD work, which is one size doesn't fit all. So if you have truly people who are have a pre-existing conditions, right, and are sick, fine, quarantine them. And those people who are normal people, give them vitamin D3, the quercetin, the zinc, and the iodine. I was the one who put out that protocol, Joe. Other people took my protocol and they started packaging it. I never made a penny off that. That Those videos, I think I must have done 50 of them, went viral. So I gave a solution, saved millions of people's lives. I still get calls every day. Thank you, Dr. Shiva. I was in the ICU. Mm-hmm. I took your vitamin C IV protocol. Thank you. You saved my family's life. So think about what's going on there, Joe. You have this immense bullshit going on with Fauci. I, as an activist and a scientist, am running the Fire Fauci campaign. I'm driving a freaking bus for 36 hours. The lockdown was there. We couldn't even get a hotel. We had to sleep on the bus. Delivered those signatures. Marla Maples contacted me. She said, oh, you know, me and Tiffany, we love all the stuff you do. She and I did a podcast. You can look at it back then. She delivered that handwritten letter to Trump. I got a call from their, you know, deputy secretary. And I said, you got to get rid of this guy. I said, this is nonsense. I'm a scientist. Wow. I know what I'm talking about. And I gave the protocol, Joe. Why didn't Trump, using that bully pulpit, tell people to take vitamin D3? Tell people to take IV vitamin C. Then that same, in 2019, Joe, we ran the first vaccine conference showing how the one size fit all didn't work. And in June of that year, I ran the first mask conference saying that there is no need for mask mandates. I had done another body of scientific research showing that when you put the mask, what it does to the mouth microbiome and how it can cause all these other diseases, particularly for young people. So think about what we did. 2019, we're exposing one size fits all medicine. We're not saying vax. I think the talk was beyond vax and anti-vax. Boost the immune system. I must have done another 50 videos educating people on the immune system, why you need to protect the immune system. So all of that was going on. Where was Tucker Carlson? Nowhere to be found. Where was Rand Paul? Nowhere to be found. He waited a year later to use our hashtag Fire Fauci in emails to get donations. None of these people were there, Joe. You guys were the only ones who covered my work. The only ones.
Thanks.
So it's very important to tell the truth at the right time. And
absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
But I was just going to say, just a matter of time so we get all these key points in. This is amazing stuff that you're sharing. At this time, too, you decided to run for Senate in Massachusetts. Is that not
true? I was running for Senate as a Republican. So in the midst of running for Senate, in the midst of running my company, Cytosol, we're also attacking Fauci, going to demonstrations, right? Exposing Fauci on the ground. I must have ran three major demonstrations here, right? Against Fauci. All of this stuff is occurring in 2020, Joe. So it's being an activist, being a scientist, being, you know, doing videos like this over and over again. It was like, maybe I got 2 hours sleep a day in those days, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So that was doing videos like this over and over again. It was like, maybe I got 2 hours sleep a day in those days, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
So that was in the heart of 2020. And then now let's move forward to September of 2020, which was a Republican primary. As everyone should know, very simply, we had 3,000 volunteers on the ground. We're running against, we were headed to be the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, and it would have been against Markey, okay? The Democrats were running this guy, Joe Kennedy, who was for vaccine mandates. Robert Kennedy, again, came here and in Hollywood and endorsed his own nephew, knowing I'm against vaccine mandates, and supported him, raised money for him. So that's Robert F.N. Kennedy, okay? People should wake up to this. The guy says whatever needs to be said. He's a fake hero. Now, September of 2020, Joe, as you know, the word on the street in Massachusetts was Dr. Shiva is going to win by a landslide. The Republican establishment found some other guy to run against me who didn't have one lawn sign up, Joe. We had 25,000 lawn signs up. We'd raised $2 million donation, which is pretty high for a Republican primary in Massachusetts. And guess what happens on September 2020? The results come in. I win by 10 points in the hand-counted paper ballot county called Franklin County. Everywhere else, it was 60-40, 60-40, 60-40. That's when I had to open up my eyes that maybe we live also in a third world country here. I did the first analysis, expose the fact that the machines can do vote flipping. It's called the weighted race feature. And you remember those videos. I did those videos, exposed it, filed a lawsuit. And in September 25th of 2020, I put out a tweet. Because when I filed my lawsuit, when I went to the Secretary of State, when I knew they cheated me, I said, I want the ballot images in the machines when a ballot goes and it creates an image, which the AI uses to calculate your vote. When I asked for those ballot images, Joe, they said, oh, we deleted them. Well, I tweeted that out. I said, Massachusetts government violated federal law. They deleted ballot images. That went viral. I get shut down off Twitter. for the first time ever into, I've never been turned off Twitter. I had to go in federal court because we moved our campaign to a write-in campaign, if you remember. So I'm still a bona fide U.S. Senate candidate, now fighting against the Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans had stolen my election, not the Democrats in Massachusetts. They colluded. And we go into federal court, and I had to represent myself. No other lawyer wanted to take on the government of Massachusetts. And in federal court, I competed, went against three Harvard lawyers of the state. And we, in cross-examination, it was my cross-examination that discovered that the government of the United States has set up a backdoor portal into Twitter and to every major social media company. When we exposed, the judge was freaked out. He gave us the terms of our preliminary injunction, which was quite extraordinary. Now, all of this I exposed to Tucker Carlson. And I have all the emails. If people go to winbackfreedom.com, I've put it out there, open transparency. What did Tucker do? Nothing on October 15th, nothing on October 30th when we won that lawsuit. He's freaking sat on it. He's a jackass. Yeah. Okay. He did nothing.
About the same time that he sat on this Hunter Biden information that was sent to him.
In fact, on October 30th, 2020, on that same date is when he told people, let's go easy on Hunter. And people are going to go look at that. So Tucker Carlson is part of the intelligence network. He's part of the deep state. Now he's doing his major new grift with his ally, Elon Musk, and all of these guys. And I'll come back to that. But bottom line is that was the time, October of 2020, Joe, everyone should have been over it. Again, you guys were the only ones who covered it. Yeah. Bannon covered it. Okay. Only two guys. And we did our own videos. But the bottom line is we had exposed that the government has a backdoor portal to Twitter. The government deletes ballot images. And since that time, I, on my own time, again, 2 hours of sleep, we did the Michigan analysis, which went viral. We did the analysis in Florida. I became the election integrity guy, not getting a penny for any of this, Joe. And Mark Meadows called me here on November 3rd saying, oh, Dr. Shiva, how can we help you? I said, Mark, give us data. He didn't do anything. The Trump campaign didn't give us any data. However, they ran the election fraud grift, made $500 million. And I don't know where that went into it. Where that went. In fact, I asked Trump, where did that go when I met with him? But the bottom line is we exposed the real issues, which was chain of custody. And then in Arizona, we exposed a signature verification issue. Now, fast forward, February 1st of 2021, actually in November 4th, by that court order, I'm put back on Twitter. And on February 1 of 2021, I once again shared those emails where the government exposes that they deleted ballot images. Boom, Joe, this time I'm deplatformed for good. They violated the judge's order. I go back into court. The judge orders Twitter into court. It was the only court case where Twitter had to come in. It's documented. Now it's me against seven lawyers, the four from the state and NASID, as we talked about, and the three from Twitter. My briefs were so good, Joe, that the vice chairman of WilmerHale, Twitter's counsel, said, we don't believe you wrote your own briefs. So I had learned how to become my own lawyer, Joe. And in the and in that time in May, that is when I discovered another big thing, which Matt Taibbi stole from me, which he should shame on him. All these Twitter files guys came from my work, where we discovered the entire censorship network that was created at Harvard Belfer School, with Stanford, with Pierre Omidyar, the entire network. And I did a beautiful diagram on this. Yeah. The judge just simply wanted to put me back on Twitter, was trying to buy me out and wanted me to drop all my claims against the government. I refused to do that. He wanted to censor me, Joe. And then he sealed our lawsuit. Sealed the lawsuit, Joe. And then what I did was I filed the lawsuit with the one claim, but I got the diagram in, which is what every grifter has stolen. Every grifter has stolen our work and purposely not given us credit. And why does credit matter, Joe? Because it came from me, an independent guy, Republicans and Democrats. They don't want to give us those views, Joe, because we're creating an independent movement. And that is the heart of the issue here. Tucker didn't want to cover us because, oh, this guy's not in one camp. If I put him on TV, people are going to realize the grift that they've been doing. So you see, we expose a backdoor portal. I was thrown off. We expose the election system's integrity issues, the real issues of chain of custody and signature verification, not the grifter issues, which actually subsumed the real work. It's really disgusting what they did. October 30th, 2022, Joe, to keep the to be respectful of your time, is, remember, I didn't back down. So I filed my lawsuit with the one amended claim and I walked away. I did not want to simply go on Twitter. And that's what they wanted me to do. They were trying to buy me out, Joe. 99%. And my lawyer at the time was saying, you'll be the first guy, you'll have all this fame. Shiva, I said, I don't want that. The government must pay for their crimes, because I believe in the First Amendment, Joe. That's why my parents came from India here.
Yeah.
October 20th, 2022, I wrote a scathing blog post exposing Musk. I mean, come on, everyone. It's clear Musk is the honeypot, because if you look at it right now, the left and the liberal elites do not give a damn about the First Amendment. They never did, okay? The only people care about the First Amendment or have it is 4% of the world's population, which is the American people. Now, out of that, the tip of the spear of that is guys like me, immigrants who came here, value it, and the American white working class who still has their guns and the Second Amendment, right? And they value that, and they will defend the First Amendment. So the goal is to blunt them, Joe. So they bring in this doofus called Elon Musk. Well, this guy, go look at his history. He comes from South Africa, where 1% ruled 99%. In his epigenetics is, oh, a few know better than the rest. Number two, he's a big climate change guy, climate scam guy. He's praised Greta Thunberg. The other thing, let's look at the fundamentals here. When he gets brought in, Joe, we have to understand the actual follow the money. $5.7 billion, Musk is a government front man, whether it's for China or for the US. He's a government front man. Write that down, everyone. That's what this guy is. SpaceX, at minimum $5.7 billion from the government. Starlink satellite, spying on all of us. That's what this is about. He's a government frontman. You have to be like this with government, Joe, to put up a satellite, right? Imagine what effort it takes just for you to get a permit to do a kitchen in your home, right? This guy's putting up thousands of satellites. Government relationship is like this. Tesla would never have been profitable had it not been for those $1.5 billion in government credits. When they got that profitability, that's when the valuation became $600 billion. Twitter has indemnity. What does that mean? You can sue the New York Times. They can sue Gateway Pundit, right, Joe? If you guys write something false, you can sue the New York Times. But you cannot sue Twitter or Facebook or these social media platforms. Why? Because they have Section 230 immunity. Silicon Valley negotiated that with Congress. Well, what does Section 230 mean from a money standpoint? Well, those social media companies get 10 times valuation on revenue. If New York Times make $5 billion in revenue, they're only worth $5 billion, 1x. Twitter makes $5 billion, they're worth 10x, Joe. 10x, because they are deemed a different kind of company, which gets Section 230. For that Section 230 immunity, what's happened is the social media companies have done an unholy alliance. They will give government access to censor people. And that's what we showed. That unholy alliance was used to censor a US Senate candidate, me. No one talked about it. This is the most foundational issue in American history. Guess what happens? I get put on Twitter because Musk thought he was going to buy me off. And I get put on Twitter, and the first tweet I do, Joe, I said, hey, Elon, why don't you make me your CEO? You can go look at it. That got like 20 million views, Joe, went viral. But after that, I said, Elon, are you going to take down the backdoor portal? And you can see between the time I started critiquing him, and in fact, Clayton Morris of Redacted asked him in an open Twitter space in late December, he goes, hey, Dr. Shiva Zayaduri's lawsuit exposes backdoor portal. Are you going to remove it? And this freaking liar acts stupid. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. That sounds like Big Brother. I'll get back to you. He never got back. So the backdoor portal still exists between government and Twitter, between all these social media companies, but now we're in censorship 10.0. Since I got on, Joe, you can literally see the numbers. I went from 500,000 views per day on my tweets down to 5,000 views per day now, Joe. Why? Because I'm the only one who has to do this dirty job of exposing this guy. Every tweet is, when are you going to take down the portal? When are you going to take down the portal? When are you going to take down the portal? And as I increase those tweets critiquing him, Joe, my views have gone down like this, exponentially downwards. Meanwhile, he is driving views, paying off people like Robert F. and Kennedy or Tucker Carlson, the people that I've critiqued. So what he's doing is a quid pro quo. This is worse than what Dorsey did. Dorsey just threw you off. What Musk is doing is a multi-tier strategy. Guys like me who expose that he's not a free speech absolute or not even a free speech guy, we get shuttled and put into a digital cage. And furthermore, what he's doing, Joe, the reason he put me back on is all of my followers, you can do what's called predictive analytics. This is really censorship 10.0. which means you build a profile of my followers, you find out others who may become my followers, and you send them, you misdirect them to the people that I'm exposing. And that's what's going on, Joe. So, but on top of it, what's really disgusting is all the conservative obsequious grifters, be it Dinesh D'Souza, be it, you know, James Woods. James Woods put out a tweet after Musk hired the WEF guy. Oh, my God, I guess the party's over, something like that. And I go, James, the party never began. That tweet started going viral. James Woods then deleted his tweet. The next day, he's thanking Musk for giving him 100,000 followers. This is what's going on, Joe. Musk is buying off his ass kissers. Excuse my language. That's what he's doing. And it's disgusting to watch the conservative grifters bootlick him. And it's the same like 2020, Joe. I'm calling it out now. We are heading into a worse model of censorship than ever before. I mean, after I did all this, then he brings in this WF woman. She was pro-vaccine mandates, pro-mask mandates. And then you can see people trying to backtrack. Dinesh D'Souza tries to, oh, well, you know, she's not that bad. I mean, it's sickening. They are, these conservative grifters are sickening. They are bowing down to him to get views, to remain on this platform called Twitter. They're not patriots. It's really disgusting.
You know what? Great analysis, by the way. Thank you so much for sharing all that. The thing that grabs me too is just the fact that that here we had Congress give this benefit to the drug manufacturers over vaccines, and now they give this benefit to big tech with censorship issues. And it seems like really ultimately some of the stuff leads all the way back to you know the U.S. government and their and what they've done to create these monsters.
Well, Joe, you have to think about it this way. It is the latest term I've been using is not the swamp, it's a swarm. In system science, by the way, Joe, you know, the solution to this is everyday people becoming conscious of the dynamics of how a few set of people are able to subjugate billions of people. And that's the knowledge of system science. The elites learn this. And when people go to truthfreedomhealth.com, I've spent, we have a movement now. We have close to 500 million people who've heard about us. We have about 400,000 students who've gone through this. They're on the ground now. But what we are teaching people is how to become a warrior and a scholar with these fundamental principles. And what they're learning, Joe, is to recognize that when you ask this probably the most fundamental human question, how is it a few people can control 8 billion people? And it comes down to that they, it's not any one person. It's not like, you know, some people say, oh, it's this person, it's the banks, it's this. They're a swarm. It's a multiracial, decentralized, interconnected swarm. It involves, on the one hand, government. It involves the 100 university presidents. It involves the top 100 NGOs, right? From WEF to Clinton Global Initiative, Gates Foundation. It involves, you know, think tanks. Those are all the people involved in the power. Then associated with them, they all play on the same golf course, is the top 2,000 CEOs, right? You have the major investment banks and the investment bankers who run them. And then you have, you know, the central banks. And then the front end of all this, Joe, is you have Hollywood, you have the social media influencers who are selected. Tucker Carlson is leaving as one grift. And by the way, let's be clear, Joe, Tucker Carlson is not a martyr. You and I both know that he didn't do shit for election systems when this stuff was going on. But then when he saw the conservatives doing it, he started talking enough to get views. But internally, Joe, he was writing stuff bashing it. He was saying, ah, this is all a joke. Yeah. That's why Fox got screwed, because of him. Legitimately, they would have had to pay $1.5 billion. They now only have to pay $750 million. And now he's acting like he's a martyr. I'm sorry, Tucker, you're not a martyr. You had, you're very close with the swarm. You have close relation with Hunter Biden. Just like you said, Joe, his, you know, he got him to write his son's recommendation letter. These people, so you have the front end Hollywood, the media companies, the new social media influencers, and then the real fangs that they have, Joe, are the obvious establishment, like the McConnells, the Bushes, right? But the not so obvious establishment, like the Trump. I like Trump, right? But he let me down big time. He's part of this, you know, golden plated toilet seat culture, okay? And Kennedy's. And so they have the not so obvious establishment, which is used to blunt right now the American working people so they don't build these independent movements, Joe. That's the fundamental analysis. And that's why our campaign is telling people, look, you finally have one of you. That's who you're looking at with me. I didn't come from a Kennedy clan, you know, bootlegging stuff. I didn't come from, you know, sitting on golf courses all day. I came from everyday people in Newark, New Jersey, bottoms up. Everything I have, I've earned, Joe, like everyone listening here. And it's time that we start selecting one of us and start having self-respect, because none of this stuff is going to change. And for the first time, people have a real choice with me. All of those other candidates, Joe, they all know each other. They're all, you know, this guy Vivek, they had to find a brown guy to give a new face, okay? They're all interconnected. And that's what we're facing, yeah. Joe. We have to break from the swarm.
Hey, great stuff, Dr. Shiva. So happy to have you on. We'll have to have you back because there's so much more that we could chat about. But thank you and congratulations and good luck on your campaign as well. We really appreciate
thank you
being
Joe.
Here today.
Be well. Thank you for all your work. Be well.
Thank you. And this is Joe Hoff Show. We'll be back tomorrow.